This hour of Overdrive is powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Our boy Chapo is currently grinding it out at the French Open. Keep you updated. Not the best first set, but he's up against that Alcaraz kid who's just a stud, especially on clay. Battling it out in the second set. We'll see. Right?
Not a lot of Canadian content left. Is that the dude that won the U.S. Open?
Yeah, Alcaraz is he's a stud. He's the next one. Like, he's young. He had an injury that took him out recently, but he's back. And our boy Chapo he's fighting him off. So we'll keep you updated on that. The Jays are in New York this weekend playing the Mets. We're going to finally get to the Stanley Cup Final tomorrow night. Whew. NBA Finals are off. It's all good. It's all good on a Friday afternoon.
That delay for the Stanley Cup final, I get it. There's a lot of high-tech, high-money, big business things involved. But I don't know, man. Thursday, Saturday could have been pulled off, couldn't it? I just don't get it. Like, the casual fan might have just said, I kind of forgot about it.
Right.
Oh, I don't know.
It's way too long. It's crazy that it's been this long in between games.
Doesn't it feel like a lifetime ago? And it wasn't that long ago that the Leafs were playing, but, you know, you go a week, you go 2 weeks, and then you've got this long delay. It just seems like the season's over. Like, and then you're going to have a Stanley Cup final, then it's over, then it's the draft, and then free agency. But it's just, this was too long. And listen, you can't predict whether it's going to be a sweep, five games, six games. It happens. But there should have been an adjustment. And I get it. It's TV. It's TNT. It's ESPN. All the things that control. And obviously, basketball is a huge factor in this because TNT's involved. So I get it. But I don't think it's a miss. It's just disappointing because we're all kind of waiting.
What we've witnessed here with both leagues, the NBA Finals included, is that when the other teams around the league start getting business done, it's the ultimate distraction. Like, you can tell why commissioners hate the idea of, you know, big news popping up in and around the conference finals or the finals. And, like, the best example is what's been happening up in Toronto, where you've got the biggest hockey market in the world, the most amount of media that covers the sport, both in terms of the team but also on simply a national level.
Right.
And the Leafs are at the forefront. Because Dubas is walking and Tree Living's coming in, and then Dubas is going to Pitt, and coaches are getting hired. And same thing in the NBA, right? Like, coaches are being hired, money's flying around, LeBron might be retiring. Like, if it keeps going that far and the other teams are going to start doing business, then people are going to be attracted to that, right? And it takes away from the product. Now, once the games get going, life will come back, right?
True.
Like, if game one happens and it's a barn burner, it's a 5-4 back and forth OT, okay. I would suggest that game last night in Denver was not enough to kickstart the party in the NBA Finals.
No.
It was a terrible game. Miami shot horribly. They got to the line twice. They were chasing it all night.
I told you.
Yeah, they barely covered, though. They barely covered. They covered, though. Doesn't matter how. Doesn't matter how. It's how many. They covered, but they didn't blow them out. You know, but still, it was enough for Denver to start fast. Jokic did what he did. Again, I don't think that's going to spark enough. I think people are talking more about Frank Vogel down in Phoenix, and up here we're waiting to see who the Raptors are going to hire. And there's too many other distractions that don't include just focusing on the game.
That's what it is. The business goes on around it, and you know, you start to be focused on what's Harden going to do, where, you know, is Steve Nash going to be here? Like, I get it. It's local to this market if we're talking and the Raptors don't have skin in it as far as the finals. But same thing. The biggest hockey news yesterday was not the Stanley Cup final and media day, people flying into that. It was Brad Treliving and Kyle Dubas.
Yep.
And that is, you open SportsScan this morning and all the articles from all the other teams are talking about Treliving and his you know, draft history and trade history, and is he a good fit in Toronto? And you know, the storylines throughout the league, it's not, hey, you know, Tkachuk versus Mark Stone like that.
Right.
It's still there. Don't get me wrong, but just not as.
It's not even close to being prevalent. And let's be honest, the teams, the markets. I mean, it was going to be a mess anyway. You wait this long and you got Florida and Vegas in it. It's going to be tough to get Canadians engaged. You know, tough to get Northeastern, Midwestern, American hockey fans engaged. They'll get there come puck drop. But the idea of buildup, I think, was going to be difficult. Anyway, now I do think, you know, the Leafs got their business done. Pittsburgh got their business done. A lot of coaches have been hired before the media day today, right, in Vegas, where now I'm sure the league is hoping that the stage has been set. And now you turn the page over and it's go time for the Golden Knights against the Panthers. But we'll see. You know, we'll see come tomorrow night. And we'll have our picks later this afternoon.
I know
you guys
who you're
confident?
Picking, Hazy B. I know who you're picking.
You think you know who I'm picking?
I know who I'm picking.
I don't know who you're picking. You go ahead and tell me who you think I'm picking.
Vegas.
You think I'm on Vegas?
He's picking Florida because he's so mad at Bill Foley and his helicopter. He will not be on their side whatsoever.
Even if they are the clear-cut favorite.
He's like, I'm not having it. It's an expansion team that's gone to the finals now twice. Like it actually disgusts you. That's what it is.
It does. But at the same time, it's like a level of respectful disgust. Right.
Yeah.
Like
fair.
You have to have respect for it. These guys have been to a cup final twice. They've been around for 6 years. Like back when the Leafs last went to a cup, the place was a desert. You know, like Bugsy Siegel was running the operation out there.
Sinatra singing.
Yeah. I mean, it's outrageous what's happening here. These guys show up and all of a sudden, you know, two cup finals, right? All these different coaches, different players.
When was the last time that the Leafs were in a cup final, the actual year?
Like 1967. Okay, they haven't been to a cup final since
the last
time.
By the way, just thinking about it, the cup final in year one is one of the most ridiculous things
of
all time.
It is, actually. Ever. Absurd.
Ever. The craziest
years past, but to think about that, we just started in the league. Wow, we're going to go to the final.
Right.
That's insane.
In a 31-team league, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not like the league started 10 years ago, and they went from 6 to 8 teams, and one of the 7th or 8th teams decided to jump into the party early. This was a well-established league that had been around for 100 years, and the first year they go to a cup final, and now they're back in it. They're favored. Like, that was Ovi in Washington, and that felt like destiny at that point, right? Like, it felt like, okay, Ovi's got it together here, and Holpe's got it together, and Washington was a clear-cut favorite, and they basically ended the run. Here, I think the shoe's on the other foot. You know, I think Florida's the equivalent of what Vegas was 6 years ago. Kind of out of nowhere, get in, go on a heater, shocking the world. And it looks like Vegas is the team that is more stable and was much more predictable and more destined to win. And you know, the series odds on FanDuel, Vegas is -125. Money's coming in on Florida. It's starting to flip a little bit. It's basically pick 'em odds for Florida. But I happen to be on Vegas. You actually are right. Shout out to Bill Foley and his helicopter.
Wow.
Yes, I am on Vegas because I look at the way they've played and I look at that defense core. I think they're just going to smother these guys. I do. I think they're so big. They're so physical. I think it's going to be tougher, even Matthew Tkachuk, to do what he's been doing. I think it'll be a good series. I think if it goes deep, Bobrovsky wins the Conn Smythe, even if they lose. I think if it's Vegas in 4 or 5, then it probably flips and someone from the Golden Knights will win it. But that's what I'm going to say. I'll jump on the bandwagon immediately. I'm on Vegas.
I can't go.
I just look at the goaltending matchup. Like Bobrovsky. The thing is, the guy hasn't played in 10 days. Or how long is it? Is it 10 days or longer?
Yeah, it's 10.
Yep.
So can
10.
Matthew Tkachuk, like, find the magic? Can those guys, like, dig back in? I like them 2 days off and back into the finals. 10 days, it's like you got to kind of recapture everything.
That's my concern, too.
You do, though, but this is for keeps. Like, they, you know, it's not like I can't see them.
I know it's for keeps, Noodles, but it's like you got to rekindle everything.
You do, but I don't think in this last 10 days it's like, hey, we're not playing for 10 days. Let's rent a yacht and go away for 3 days. Like, to me, Mo's probably had a plan where, like, you can party and enjoy yourself and do all of the things that you're going to do after. And I know you're in Florida, so maybe part of your routine even during the season is getting a little sun, walking down to the beach, golfing, doing a lot of the things that you do in the off season anyways. I think mentally, it might take a second to charge it back up, But this is their opportunity of a lifetime for these guys.
You better
think of where they were.
Cherish it.
Think of where they were the night mentally, probably watching Pittsburgh play Chicago and go, you know, on Expedia, probably go, we're done here. 92 points, we're done, and watching Sid and them lose. I think it was 4-1. I think they lost right. That game. I'd have to double-check. But
I love access to that Google history.
Right.
Who on the Florida Panthers had booked something on April 1st, you know, or April 8th, whatever it was, had big plans. You know, a yacht in Monaco, or putting the Amex Black down. Like, it was go time because they were certain the Penguins were not going to lose to the Blackhawks of all teams,
and then all of a sudden
they got geared back up. Chicago was dying to lose.
They were dying
to lose. And actually, them winning in terms of the statistics worked out because then they had the right lottery balls that got them Connor Bedard, like, which is kind of amazing. Is that they wanted to lose, but they actually won, and now they've got Bedard. And you know, Pittsburgh was trying to win, but they actually lost. And now I guess they got Dubas. You know,
right.
Instead of Bedard, they got Dubas. Right, and we'll see what ends up happening there. But that would be a pretty cool experiment. The old Google history of the Florida Panthers. Even Paul Maurice. I wonder if Paul was thinking, man, I'm in trouble here. Not in terms of longevity in Florida, but this is going to be an early offseason. Like, was he prepping for exit meetings in between first and second period?
Well, once you've done.
No, not his, but with the players. Thinking if Pitt wins tonight, we're out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So what am I going to say to these guys?
Dude, when you have a crisis like that, you're not even thinking of exit meetings for other people because you might get a tap on the shoulder and it might be just a wipeout when you don't make the playoffs like that.
Yeah,
yeah. It may be a pass card declined moment for Paul Maurice.
Well,
yeah.
I don't think they played the last night of the season, right? So it was them sitting there waiting.
Watching and waiting.
Right. Like, that's my
answer.
Now
they're here. They
have to go back
now
on
they're
that,
in the dance. And,
yeah.
And listen, they deserved it, right? The way they came back from Boston, the way they dismantled the Leafs, dismantled Carolina. They beat Toronto and Carolina in 9 games. That's outstanding. Like, that.
Yeah.
That is really outstanding. But, you know, there's other motivation for Vegas. I'm sure you guys have seen this story. There's a strip joint in Vegas offering
Larry
a
Flint.
Lifetime of free lappers for the Golden Knights. They find a way to win the Stanley
could
Cup.
Could you imagine?
So 30 years from now, if one of those guys are all grizzled and just walk in there and they have a cup ring on, it's just go time or what?
That
would appear so, yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of, is not when they win now and they go in and maybe visit there or whatever. It's the reunion 20 years from now when they come back. Hey, you know what? We won 20 years ago. Bring everybody back in. Drop the puck at a ceremony. Oh, let's head over to Hustle or whatever. And we're all going in there with our rings. So, and can you imagine the people that work there going, what?
All the turnover. Management turnover. You're like, actually, we have a signed contract right here. I'd like you all to see it. It's all been signed. Yes, I was a black ace, and I didn't – like Phil. Like, Kessel hasn't even played. Phil could go back there at 45 years and just say, excuse me, I'd like to come in, and I will be sitting in the back.
Yeah, I'll be over there behind the curtain.
Yes, I'll be over there, and I won't be paying a dime tonight. Thank you. There's my cup ring from 2023.
Like, that is actually absurd because when you think of it, does anybody ever, like – follow that up. If you've been given a lifetime of
free
coffee,
because what about the managers that are on site that know nothing about the deal? They're going to be like, get the hell out of here. Get out.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is there a guy who's either cheap enough or horny enough to go in and say, I need something signed? Like, my agent's going to call the manager. I need a contract. This is lifetime. Right, if we win the cup, I want to be coming here for the next 40 years.
Yeah,
and I'm just going to hold up the piece of
no
paper.
No change in my jeans.
Right, nothing. I'm coming in, and everything's all. I'll take a water with some ice, and I'll be in the back.
Water? Still in Vegas, that costs $8.
I'm coming
bucks,
in
you
with
that
a thin T-shirt and jogging pants. That's it.
Wow. Yeah.
You're right. Ice costs money in Vegas, a lot of money.
You're right. It does. But
a little ice water could cost you about $25.
But it's still weird. Like, I just often, when I read that, I thought to myself, is there anything where it's a lifetime guarantee and people, like, actually take them up on it? Like, I don't
see how you can. It's all about promotion, right?
Right.
This is what happens. You see this all the time. If this team wins, you know, you're going to do this. If that, I can't. I mean, maybe some people decide to follow up on that, but it's really just about promotion.
Here's a weird one, though. If you're like, for example, and I don't want to bring it up and beat a dead horse, but our buddy Kenny Pagan, this lifetime ban. Like, is there at some point where you're like, hey, I'm going to come in, or can I try or do try? Like, is it?
I would think the statute of limitations on that. Now, with electronic ticketing and stuff, it actually is probably easier to follow up on that if you're security.
Kenny's a buddy of ours. He's allowed back in.
Right. Well, I think Kenny I would have to believe
we're
Ken
saying
Pagan.
He's allowed back in. Like we've got right, any skin call. In that game. Yeah.
If somebody gave him a ticket and it's not through his credit card or whatever, I no one's picked. Like, he's going
Nobody
in.
Could no. pick him out of a crowd. It's been 7 years. Right? It's been like, think about all the other stupid things that have happened in the city for the last 7 years. All the stupid things that have happened at sporting events in the last 7 years. That was a famous one that got blown way out of proportion. It was stupid. Everyone understands what he did was really dumb. But yes, I would assume if he's walking around the new park, if he's up in the new Corona patio or whatever, no one's going to say, hey, call security. I think that's our boy. You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Hat shades golden, like more than golden.
Yeah, I think after a while it's probably all good. So, we got game one tomorrow night, so we'll tee that up throughout the afternoon. We got Tim Leiwicki coming on the show today. And I want to get into a number of things with Tim, including the fact that he hired Shanahan and Masai, and they're both still here running the show. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, not going anywhere anytime soon, right?
Right.
Like, did Tim expect that to be the case? That was 9 years ago. Like, the likelihood of that happening is...
I would say it's a zero Jerry's.
But
9 years ago, I think it would have been a 0% across the board.
If you had a Jerry's 9 years ago saying in 10 years from now they'll both still be running operations, all of us would have said zero.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, though. Didn't he promise a parade route and it got delivered, technically?
He did with the Raptors. He did with Toronto FC as well. Like, yes. He did connect on both of those. Yeah.
He also said the Raptors would be a more popular type of a vibe than the Leafs.
Yeah. In 10 years, and that is obviously nothing has changed, I don't think.
No.
You know, when it comes to popularity, when it comes to the amount of fans, coverage.
Hey, that's what I said when he made the comment, and people were like, you don't know anything, the NBA's growing. And I'm like, that's fine, it can grow. It's still going to be a Leaf town. Sorry.
Well, you're right, but they have grown in popularity, and him calling the shot of... A parade route. There was a parade route.
Yeah.
The Raptors won.
Parades. Like, so that biggest parade I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? Raptors won.
The longest one.
I wouldn't be shocked if, the most ridiculously planned parade of all time.
Do you remember that whole day we were on site?
Dude.
Yeah.
We were waiting
four years ago.
Hours, I think.
Oh, more than that, buddy.
No, we were there 5 hours.
Our plan was we were doing during the day because we were going to be on when they got to City Hall. And then we were going to take like a 2 or 3 hour break and walk downtown to the studio on Queen Street and do our show at 4.
Yeah.
They didn't get there till like 4:15. We were on the air for like 6 hours. Like, still at City Hall.
With no water. Remember, Duthy and them were just drenched in water and had
it was Dusty Bottoms and Three Amigos. Like, Duthy had his canteen. He's just pouring out water. The three of us are absolutely parched. We're so thirsty.
Yeah.
Duthy's taking showers.
Lunch was like a greasy sandwich in a bag that was melting all day in the sun.
And someone just threw up like
we were
pigeons.
It was left over. It was
seagulls. Enjoy, fellas. Have a great day.
And we were seagulls, and it was just here. Go take that. That's discarded food.
No, we were pigeons. We were three pigeons on our little perch. I'm surprised someone just wasn't throwing crumbs at us.
That's what it should have been. Little pieces of bread.
Yeah.
Right? Just a loaf of bread and just here. There
yeah, have us peck at
that.
It on the set. Just
it was tough, too. It was strict orders, too. Like, radio and TV were not crossing over. Like,
no crossing
we went over there to try and grab a sandwich out of their cooler, and it was not happening. Like,
that
it was
wild. Remember the security? They're like, you guys are not allowed over here. I think someone's got a loaf of bread for you, and it should be here within the next hour or two.
Yeah.
So, and there's there's a puddle down there. You guys can do what you will with that. That was almost 4 years ago.
Wow.
4 years ago. And it's obviously a very different world now. So Tim's coming up, and he will help us kind of break down where we're at here with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And, again, Cup Final tomorrow. Denver's off and running in the NBA Finals. Bobby Marks will join us next from ESPN, get his take on Jokic just continuing to put up triple-doubles. Like, you got to pay juice to bet on the guy to put up a triple-double, and it's a good bet because he does it every single night. And I didn't even think he played that well last night. Like, he played well, but he just, routine, whatever, triple-double, all good. So Denver up 1-0. We'll get Bobby's take on that. And Raptors, the only team with a vacancy, the only team that hasn't hired a coach. It's not like they're playing tomorrow night, but something is weird here. Yeah. Either that or they've been interviewing people that no one else has been. So they've realized they can take their time. I kind of feel like that's probably the case. So Bobby coming up. Tim Leiwicki will join us. Jay's down in New York playing the Mets. We'll catch up with Keegan Mathison later this afternoon. And Dear Hazy B in a couple of hours. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Mailin' in Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio. All right, Bobby Marks will join us here in just a few moments, looking back on Game 1 of the NBA Finals, get his take on what could be taking so long with the Raptors and their pursuit of a new head coach. Also, the discrepancy in money that's being spent on coaches. Frank Vogel just got himself a deal. He's taken over in Phoenix. That's where Monty Williams was. And, like, Vogel's not going to be in any danger of being financially strapped, right? But he is
going
to be...
How much less than Monty?
Per year, Vogel is going to be making $6.2 million per year. Monty's making $13 million. Like, how do you
explain
that? Yeah,
but, dude, if you're an owner of a different team, you can say, look, man, you want the number or not, it's a hell of a lot of money to coach. We don't care what that other guy has or is making.
I understand that. I guess it's – but I'm saying you can look at it both ways. Like, what was Detroit doing where they felt they had to pay it, like, good for Williams. I don't care. There's no cap. These guys are owners are worth a fortune.
Yeah,
but he wouldn't take $11 million a year.
When an organization is desperate and they want the top guy or one of the top guys, and he tosses out a number and says, "I'm not stepping foot in the city for less than it." And if you really want him to make a statement, you give it to him.
Yeah,
it's like anything else. You only get the big bucks if you have leverage.
Yeah, that's the truth.
And how much more did he get having to go to Detroit? Because keep in mind, Detroit's a little gritty, correct?
Yeah, and Phoenix is beautiful. Obviously, you're getting great weather down there. You're getting
state
a better
tax.
Team, right?
Yeah.
You get a grind. Like Williams could be it could be a legacy thing, right? You could get all that money, which is not going anywhere. You're set for life. You know, generational wealth. But you could get there, and in 3 years, you're still the worst team in the league. And then all of a sudden, you're out, and then you get lumped into is he that good of a coach? Like, are you paying a tax, like a legacy tax, in a way,
That's fair.
It goes south again, right? Where Vogel's coming in, he's got a chance to win another title. He won a title with the Lakers in the bubble. Goes down there with KD, and, you know, like, they got a lot of talent on that team. So, you know, we'll see.
Trust KD, though? Like, I feel like he's gotten to that point where we all know he's an amazing player, but if this guy's not happy, then he's just, like,
yeah,
I'm out.
It's always possible. He looks to move on, but by all accounts, he's happy down there. I think it's more health-related concerns with him at his age.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's a percentage of a decline there, isn't there? Like,
yes.
He ain't KD of 8 years ago.
Right, and that's not going to return. And like, that's what makes LeBron so amazing, is that LeBron is a physical anomaly. Like, the guy, he's never hurt. He's in perfect shape. Like, it's almost like he's the most in-shape human of all time. Guy's never hurt. He can play minutes every night. He can go forever. He's going to continue to go. KD's not built like that. You know,
right.
No one's really built like that. So, yeah, I think it's more about do you have faith in whether or not he can stay healthy as opposed to anything else. But it's still – the talent is there, right? And you got Devin Booker. And, listen, $6.2 million, Frank Vogel's not complaining. There's no complaint there. But I think Monty Williams is feeling very good. Detroit or otherwise, hey, it's beautiful in Detroit. Taylor Swift's going to be there next week.
Yeah,
but Monty gets down there, pulls an Aaron Rodgers, right? He can get backstage, I would think, right? You think the Pistons can get a meet and greet with Taylor Swift? They might not have that kind of pull, actually. They might not. Here's
yeah, they can.
You think so at Ford yes. Field? I don't know, man. Here's a longtime executive in the NBA, ESPN, front office insider. Here's Bobby Marks. Maybe you have an answer for that, Bobby. Do you think Monty Williams can meet Taylor Swift next week? Can the Pistons pull those kind of strings or what?
I think Monty could. I don't know about the 17-win Piston team could, though. I think Monty on his own could.
Right.
I don't know about what I saw this past year. Maybe. You never know. Maybe the third show, right?
Exactly. Maybe by Sunday it's like, all right, come by. You can say hello, and then you got to leave. But, man, that's a good deal for Monty Williams. And like he's making about $13 million per. We were just talking about Vogel's making about $6.2 million per down in Phoenix. Obviously, Pistons, you know, they wanted him. They feel like they need him. But that's a lot of cash, man. What do you make of that, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, he's the second highest, I guess we can call him player / staff member on the roster behind Bojan Bogdanovic, who's making $20 million. It's a huge number. I think certainly a sense of desperation in Detroit as far as trying to get this right. And 6 years, as you guys know, we've seen coaches turn over in 3 to 4 years. 6 years is certainly a big commitment from a financial angle.
So what did he do? Like just say, I'm not stepping foot and getting off a bird in Detroit for less than 12 or 13? We were just talking about it. And what if Detroit came back and said, how about 10 or 11? Like, would he have said stuff it for that number?
I don't know. We have the same agent, and from the
good on you
basketball. And I said so. I texted him, Spencer, and I said, "Geez, now you can retire. You know, either that, or you can get a dog." like goodness gracious! I mean, that's I mean, 4 or 5 is nice, right? I mean, $13 million per year is generational money, right? Like he doesn't have to, and he was already getting 20 from Phoenix. I'm sure there's a set off in there. Monty didn't have to coach, and I think that's where. Yeah, I mean, I'm already sitting home making 6 or 7, not have to do anything. What's the number for me to, get back in it here? And basically they doubled what he was making with the Suns.
Well, that leaves only the Raptors to hire a coach. The only coaching vacancy in the league is now up here in Toronto. And my read on the situation, Bobby, is that they're interviewing people that no one else was really looking at. And I don't mean that necessarily as a negative,
yeah. But
I think that speaks to why they feel like they're in no rush, because the guys that are on their radar, they weren't on the radar in Phoenix or in Detroit, or Houston for that matter. Do you get the same sense in terms of what's taken so long with the Raptors?
Yeah, I just never thought or felt from the beginning when Nick was let go, I guess that was in late April, that they were in a rush to get something done within the, first month of this process here. I think you're right. I mean, I think they just basically have cast a wide net over this whole process. I think part of it is, and what I've learned certainly being in Brooklyn and New Jersey for a long time, is that you want to bring in as many people as you can, because it basically, as I said, gives you a scouting report on your own roster, right? Like if I'm Masai, you're basically interviewing people and say, don't hurt my feelings. Tell me about this roster. What do we need to add? Who should stay here? And if you can get 25 different scouting reports from 25 different perspectives, even though maybe you only have 3 or 4 in your high priority list, I think that's a huge offseason for the Raptors. You do have to eventually make a decision here because we are in June, and you've got the options of Fred coming up and Gary Trent, and you've got a lottery pick, and you do certainly want to coach him in place here. But, yeah, I just never felt that, unlike maybe some of these other spots, maybe it was Phoenix or Philadelphia, that there was a sense of urgency here, and we'll probably see something in the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Bobby, what do you think the vibe is on the Raps from the outside around the league? I mean, they traded for Kawhi. Kawhi didn't pick Toronto, and now it's kind of they're middling in mediocrity. So are other guys around the league kind of passing on Toronto? I know there was a time early on where it was like guys weren't sure about coming up here. I mean, they got a guy through a trade. They won a championship. But what do you think the vibe is right now?
You know what's interesting? If you had asked me out of the 5 positions that were open, what one would I put up ranked in the top, I would have put Toronto up there, certainly. I just look at it. The other organizations, Phoenix, Philadelphia, there is a and I know there's a pressure to win anywhere, but there's a little more pressure there as far as, hey, we got to get to a conference finals. We got to get to an NBA championship. I think there's a more of a working relationship, whoever Masai hires here, that it's, you're not going to be out in a year or 2 years here unless really things go off the rails here. So I think it's, I still see it as a desirable job. Of course, free agency will play into that as far as who your point guard is going to be, if it is Fred. But, you know, when you still look at the roster here, and Masai has proven, you know, I know free agency is probably a little bit more checkered, but he's proven that he can go out and draft well and add in, you know, these under-the-radar type guys to give you a roster here. That's, I still see it as a, you know, as one of the top jobs out there.
With Bobby Marks of ESPN. So game one is now in the books, NBA Finals. Nikola Jokic, this guy is a walking, talking triple-double. It's wild, man. Like, if you want to bet on him to get a triple-double, you got to pay juice. That's how crazy it is. It's a lock every night, and it happened again last night. He got a late rebound. He had 10 points, 10 assists at the half. Like, every game he's playing, it feels like it's like this new record he's setting or matching. And I thought he played well last night. I think he can play even better if that's possible. Like, if you're the Heat, though, what are you taking out of that loss, and what do you think Spoelstra and company are trying to adjust to for game two?
I think what you want to do is, it's funny, you know, it's funny you're saying this guy who's earned MVP 2 years, you know, in prior 2 years, that you want to make him a scorer.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Like, it's almost like you're content getting him, hey, let him get his 30. As long as he's not killing you with 15 assists and then 25 points, you know, like, just try to get the ball out of his hands more. Let him, you know, I guess let him post up. Make sure you don't double. But let him go to work in the post. I thought, you know, for the most part, Miami, you know, hey, they held him to 104 points, which is a good night. They couldn't shoot the ball at all last night, and that was certainly their Achilles here. But I think when you see Jokic as the passer and as more of as the point forward or point center as the facilitator, and it basically spreads the floor, and you've got either Brown or Murray or even Porter Jr. and Gordon, that group there, KCP, I think that's the way that Denver will beat you, and they will make you look bad doing so here. So I think for Spo, I think it's try to take the ball out of his hands here and you know, make him more into a scorer, which I don't think Jokic will fall into that trap, because he's been good. You know, he's been good the whole series. I mean, he's been great all year, but he's been really good these playoffs here.
Bobby, I've said it for years, regardless of what sport, basically because I lived it in the NHL, but I have this idea that the Cinderella kind of never gets it done. And I think in this scenario, you'd call the Heat the Cinderella, and it always seems like they just putter out at the end. Do you see that the likely scenario here?
Yes, and I picked the Heat to win the series just because I live in South Florida. I mean, that's really. I mean, I just look at. I thought the clock was going to strike midnight in Game 7, right? Like, eventually, it's going to end here, right? Like, it's going to end some way. And I've watched this Heat team for a long time. I mean, what, 44 wins, basically bottom in offensive efficiency, couldn't shoot the ball during a year. Had a lot of different lineups going in and out. Eventually, like, your role players turn into role players, right? I think you saw that a little bit last night with Strus and certainly Caleb Martin here. I think they got to get Tyler Hero back, which I think for game two, which will give them a boost here. But yeah, I mean, you have 8 or 9 players on your roster that went undrafted here. Like, eventually, if you're going to get a Jimmy Butler performance like that, which is what, 13, 14 points, and really having a non-impact, man, your role players got to step up big. And, you know, they were, you know, average to below average at best here. So eventually it does catch up to you. I mean, I think Dallas back in, 2010 when they beat Miami, and they had Dirk, and but they still had a lot of good players on that team with, you know, Sean Marion and Tyson Chandler and, you know, Jason Kidd and there. So I do think eventually catches up. I mean, game two is a must win for Miami. You cannot go back home, even though you're going home down 0-2, because you basically almost have to run the table to win this series.
Well, and a lot was made of them only getting to the line twice last night, but I didn't think they really deserved to get to the line much last night, and I didn't sense, like, of course they're going to complain about it, Spoelstra would be all over it, but, like, they shot for volume last night. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. They shot poorly, but I didn't sense they were compensating for poor shooting by getting aggressive and trying to get in the paint. They just kept shooting.
No, and Denver, I mean, I think – Yeah, I mean, I think even like if you're Denver, you're saying that I'll give Bam 26 points. I'll give him whatever 20 attempts, and you know they're all twos. You're not like he's, and you know, and you're not going to. Everything was outside of the paint. You know, Powell's not going to get the benefit of doubt going to the rim, right? I mean, we just kind of know that. And you know, the whistle is a little bit different in the finals here. And when you're not making shots, you're going to be down 21 points like they were last night.
Well, we'll see what comes of it, Game 2, Bobby. We really appreciate you finding time for us. I know it's a busy time of year. And I guess go Heat, go Panthers, too, right? South Florida, you guys are rocking down there.
Holy cow, right? Goodness gracious.
It's pretty good life down there.
Good place to be.
Yeah, pretty good place to be. Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, Bobby Marks of ESPN. Yeah, they got a good thing cooking down there, man. It could be a depressing 2 weeks, though, if the Heat and Panthers both lose.
Yeah, that's when the air comes out. Like, when you go that far, you're like, we get the same thing that everyone else did. Nothing.
Right. Someone's got to get a parade.
It's
someone's
fun to enjoy, though, the ride. You know what I mean? Like, that, I'm sure there's people that have gone down for the games or, you know, enjoy fans.
Oh, noodles. I had buddies, like my best friend in Carolina. He always says that was one of the best times of my life because we lived in the same condo building, and he's like, another game every other day. And he did that for 2 months.
Yeah.
Like, I had friends that were driving from Georgia, and we were winning series, so I'm like, you might want to come back for the next series. You're good luck. Mm-hmm. Next series. And then at the end of it, you're like, you get nothing.
No,
and people
that
are around it, they enjoyed the ride.
That's what it
but
is.
But as a player, it's like, that's your gig, and that's your job, and you go on the run, and it's a great experience, but ultimately you get nothing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's just the truth.
I mean, people, you got the experience, but right, no, there's no, on the Stanley Cup, they don't put the runner up there. That's, unfortunately, that's what it is, you know.
That's what it should be, though. You can't put the runner up there.
I'm just saying,
no,
like, that's.
You get an Eastern Conference trophy, and that's it.
Yeah, and you
throw
get
a
Gary
banner
Bettman.
Up. Right? There's a banner in a building, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a banner, but it's not like a big. There's not a banner raising. It's just you show up the next year, and it's there.
The banner happens to be up. Yeah, Gary and the boys put it up in July. It's been up there for a while.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, four teams still cooking, NBA and NHL. Only two of them are going to have the parade. Two of them are going to win. Overdrive brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Tracking the Memorial, man, this course is making guys cry after rounds. That's how hard it is out there.
Dude, I couldn't believe seeing that. He must be in...
Billy Horschel's in a really
It's like he keeps playing 18 at Coppenwood when he had his round of his life.
That's right.
Was you.
That was me. I was basically crying driving home. I pretty much was. And Billy shot 84 yesterday. That's wild.
Oh, I thought it was 78.
No, he shot 84, dude.
No wonder he's crying.
84. Like, there, Chad Ramey had a 13 on a hole. He was 100 yards out. He was 100 yards out with a wedge in his hand, and he put it in the water
like John Daly?
He went tin cup is what he did. He just,
wow.
Water. He carded a 13.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. No kidding.
I want to see this guy make a 13. I don't care if it takes 7 minutes. I want to see him drop balls and hit them in the water.
Right. Well, because you know how they have... Like the system where you can see, what is it, like the tracer or whatever.
Right.
And you just see ball and water. But it's just a mess. It's
Jeez,
playing really tough.
That is tin cup.
Playing
legitimately.
Really tough. Yeah, it really is. All right, Tim Leiwicki in about 20 minutes. Today is it's an anniversary. It's a famous anniversary. I'm not sure if you guys will know which one it is. I'm going to play the clip. Once it gets playing, you guys are going to know exactly what happened 13 years ago today. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the PGA Tour is down in Columbus, Ohio, and once they get through with this, it is go time at the RBC Canadian Open, and we have two giveaways today. Two pairs of tickets we're going to give away. And we're very charitable on a Friday. A classic emerges at Oakdale Golf and Country Club as it gets to set to host the RBC Canadian Open June 6th through the 11th right here in Toronto. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets, all right? So the first question we're going to ask you, what is the highest Mike Weir ever reached in the world golf rankings? Got to make you work for these, all right? Got to make you work. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. 1050. Here's your chance to win a pair of tickets to be there for any one round. You'll catch the best golfers in the world as they battle it out at Canada's lone PGA Tour stop. Also back this year is the RBC Music Concert Series featuring Grammy Award winners Black Eyed Peas and Alanis Morissette. 416-870-1050.
I say 11.
I think it's top 10.
He might have got... saying 11 for Weirzy?
I'm saying 11.
Okay. It was back in 2003, of course, right? That's when he won the Masters. You're saying top 10, oh? Do you want to give a number?
Seven. Seven.
The answer is 3. He was the third-ranked player in the world.
Oh,
third.
Wow. In now, Tiger era?
Obviously, Tiger was number one. I would assume that
VJ
was either...
VJ, too?
VJ Duvall territory. Duvall would have been around there at that point. Phil would have been lurking, but Phil hadn't won a major yet. See Phil on Twitter? Man, is he on fire on Twitter these days.
Dude. Like, just... He's got people that have so many horror stories on him, like real gory stuff. I don't know why anyone in that position would be spouting off like this. Like,
well, he's going
someone's
going
to come off the top turnbuckle and absolutely destroy him. And I have
you
a feeling who it could be. But he just, I don't get it. It's just like, with what he went through and all the nonsense, it's just like, just go play, live, and make your money and go away.
Mm-hmm.
Play the majors and try to play well, but like go away as far as like calling people out. I don't know. I find it bizarre. I find it completely bizarre.
I kind of feel like it's a part of the gig, and it's what comes with the money. Is you got to fight to live? Yeah, absolutely. Well, you got to fight. You got to because it's Iman Lynch. It's Brandel Chambly. Like those are the guys.
I know,
going
dude.
At.
But how do you go from being embarrassed and like he's so embarrassed of like this break he had to take, and then come back and then just turn into a moron again?
Well,
and I get it. He's not happy with some of the stuff
right.
that Lynch and Brandel are saying, but. Like what the hell are you going to do?
Are
people
Lynch
don't like
Brandel,
what we say. Like, what are they going to do?
Guys? Are they stand-up guys for the most part? Like,
well,
are they?
I mean, listen, I don't know them personally, but like
right.
like they are like Iman Lynch is a reporter.
He's
a very well-respected one. Chambly right. is a talking head who used to play, right?
But he's like, the Golf Channel's number one guy and
absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But he spouts off he hates Phil or, you know, whatever Phil represents. Now he hates Liv, which he's entitled to that opinion. Right. But I don't have a problem with Phil, you know.
Going back at him.
Back at least trying to respond to defend himself. But this guy's responding to everybody. Like you follow his Twitter account. He is going back and forth about everything. And he's saying he's not gambling anymore. He tweeted today saying he's worth almost $1 billion. Which maybe that's what it is. Maybe he has so much money now, he's like, I don't care anymore. You know, I've been through the storm, and I'm gonna shoot. And anyone got a problem, come get some. All right, I've got a clip here I want to play. 13 years ago today, one of the most famous plays, I think, of the 21st century took place. I don't know if you guys know where I'm going with this. You might.
I don't.
You might not. You guys want to play this clip?
And, yes.
Okay, this is what happened 13 years ago today.
Ground ball, right
oh my
side.
God,
Cabrera.
Perfect game ruined.
He's out. He's safe. He is safe. He is safe at first base.
Even the runner's like, oh my God.
And here comes Jim Leland.
Jim Leland just swallowed
Jimmy Leland.
Swallowed a cigarette
yeah.
and came running out.
Look at this handlebar mustache bastard.
Jimmy Joyce and Leland,
Jimmy
two
Joyce
guys.
Was adamant he was safe.
Yep.
You make the
yep.
Jim Joyce.
Cabrera, Galarraga.
Wow.
Look at how out that guy is.
All right, stop playing it. That's enough. Like, it's all right, enough. We got to move on here. But, yeah, that was 13 years ago. Armando Galarraga with the perfect game. And Jim Joyce in his handlebar stash. Jim Leland throws a dart that was probably – he was probably having a celebratory perfect game cigarette.
Yeah.
Right? And he had to throw that out, which really pissed him off.
Oh, my goodness, Jim Joyce.
Yeah.
Jim Joyce.
Jimmy Joyce. Can you believe it? Jimmy Joyce. Jamming up Armando Galarraga 13 years ago.
Dude, even if it's so close, you just say out.
Yeah.
It's not a no-hitter. It's a perfect game.
Exactly. Tie goes to the perfect game every time.
Let me ask you. There obviously wasn't video replay, right?
No, of course not back then.
He's out. Yes. I don't care. It's just he's out.
Yes. Yeah. That's the truth. If that happened now, they would go back and say, okay.
And perfect Jimmy game. Joyce was on his way out.
Yep, Jimmy was. And remember him crying the next day. I stole the perfect game from the kid.
He's like, come on out for the opening phase or the opening. I want to talk to both of you. We'll shake hands and make it look good.
Oh, yeah, Galarraga handled it with class. I'd be snapping. I'd be going at him like.
Dude, I would have WWF moved Jimmy Joyce at home plate and just put him in like a chokehold and smashed his forehead off
RKO,
home plate.
An RKO, just hit him with a random and just like.
Act like it's all good with Jimmy and just come. Watch him. Just T-bone him right across his forehead and watch him fall down at home plate.
All right, hour two coming up. Tim Leiwicki will join us. Silver Drive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.